Suns, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football. Qualifying matches will continue across the continent this weekend for the 2022 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. In action Thursday, Ghana and defending Nations Cup champion Algeria both posted victories to remain unbeaten and top their respective groups with the maximum 9 points. Samson Omale has that story and more African sports news.
Reigning African champions Algeria stretched their unbeaten run to an incredible 21 matches with a 3-1 win over Zimbabwe in Algiers. Ivory Coast beat Madagascar 2-1 in Abidjan. Ghana made it 3 wins from 3 matches thanks to a brace from Black Stars captain Andre Ayew in a 2-0 victory over Sudan at the Cape Coast Sports Stadium. In Ouagadougou, the Stallions of Burkina Faso were 3-1 winners over Malawi. That victory moved the Stallions level on points with Uganda, who squeezed past South Sudan 1-0 in Entebbe earlier in the day. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang of Arsenal was also on target for Gabon in their 2-1 win over Gambia in Franceville that moved the Panthers 3 points clear in Group D. There were also wins for Zambia, Congo and Cameroon, who thumped Mozambique 4-1 in Douala. The only draw of the day came in Praia, where Rwanda held Cape Verde to a 0-0 stalemate. More matches will be played later on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. President of the Confederation of African Football, Ahmed Ahmed, on Wednesday was authorized by doctors to leave hospital after he tested positive to COVID-19 on October 30th. After a period of isolation and observation at the A.S. Salam International Hospital in Cairo, doctors authorized him to leave after showing progress in his treatment. In women's football, defending champions South Africa will face Botswana in the decider of the 2020 COSAFA Women's Championship after both won through contrasting semifinals at the Nelson Mandela Bay Stadium on Thursday. South Africa defeated Malawi 6-2. Botswana edged fancied Zambia 2-1 for a first ever visit to the COSAFA Women's Championship and on to the cups of what will be one of their greatest triumphs in the team's history. And on to basketball news. Uganda has stepped up preparations ahead of the FIBA AfroBasket 2021 qualifiers slated for November 27th to the 29th in Alexandria, Egypt. Uganda is placed in Group E alongside host Egypt, Morocco, and Cape Verde. Arnold Katabi is a PRO of the Federation of Uganda Basketball Association.
The team has been taking shape very, very well, and the coaches and the technical team managed to trim the team that has been training at home, zero down to 7 players who will be joined by the 5 players when they get to travel to Egypt.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. As Samson reported, Uganda squeezed past neighbor South Sudan Thursday 1-0 in a Nations Cup qualifying match. Magume Davis Rakawinge watched the game, and he filed this report from Kampala, Uganda.
There were no spectators as one of the measures by the Confederation of African Football, or CAF, to prevent the spread of COVID-19. And the stadium announcer made it a point to inform reporters and officials to adhere to the measures.
This announcement is to remind you to keep on your mask, keep social distance, and observe all the SOPs. The cameras are observing. Please, if they get you without a mask, properly on your face, meaning the mask.
The game started with attacking football by all sides, and both teams equally deserved the first half draw. With the game poised to end goalless, Uganda Cranes coach Jonathan McKinstry, introduced new players including Khalid Rwariwa, who scored a header from a free kick with 5 minutes remaining to hand the home team all the 3 points. Dennis Onyango, Uganda Cranes captain, praised both teams for a good display.
They are young in football, but it's very difficult to play such teams because they leave everything on the pitch. They fight until the end, and so they really gave us a hard time. They were compact at the back, but we were patient. And eventually, that's what big teams do. They win with set pieces, set play, because everyone loses concentration. But for me, I'm happy for the young boys. There are a lot of young boys who also came in and played good football. They really put them under pressure.
His coach, Jonathan McKinstry, agrees.
We didn't get frustrated. We kept looking to put the ball into good areas of the field. We looked to keep getting into those final third spaces. And we got chances towards the end. Obviously, it came from a set piece, which we work on. We didn't create enough in the first half. But in the second half, we kept at it, didn't panic. It's very easy when you're 0-0 in these games in the last 5-10 minutes to get a little bit panicked. We didn't do that. We kept playing, and the players got their rewards for that. So, but, you know, it was a tough game, and full credit to South Sudan.
Sports analyst Leon Senyange says he wasn't surprised by what he saw. He says he predicts even a much more competitive game when the two teams meet again this Monday at a neutral ground near a stadium in Nairobi, Kenya.
South Sudan dominated much of play in the first half. The Uganda Cranes looked a bit out of place and coordinated passes and without much of a structure that would get them probably that early goal or probably two in the first half. But yeah, they settled their nerves and came out strong in the second half. There was more movement, more communication, and they were desperately looking for that breakthrough moment, which they got rather late on with approximately 5 minutes to the end of the match. But yes, it was a very important goal for the Uganda Cranes.
South Sudanese fan Joseph Alcangelo Apai says he was impressed by his countrymen's performance.
The way they display football, the way they control, it's absolutely great. Our national team has improved a lot. Uganda has got big talent, players coming from Europe, but we tried our level best, our South Sudanese, to stop them. If we win our game against Uganda, whom we have already known them in and out, with the game of yesterday. So we see that the next game will be tough for Uganda. We are going to get the maximum 3 points from Uganda in the next game.
Burkina Faso defeated Malawi by 3-1 score in another game played yesterday to go on top of Group B. South Sudan will have to win all the remaining 3 games for a chance to qualify for the AFCON finals, while a win by the Uganda Cranes would grant them a 3rd straight qualification to the AFCON finals. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Sporty greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, Bob, D.C.
Organizers of next year's rescheduled Tokyo Olympics say they will have measures in place to limit the spread of COVID-19. But little is known about how the virus affects the long-term health of those already infected, including athletes. South African researchers are leading an international effort looking for answers. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Marisa de Klerk tells us more from Pretoria.
South African Olympic hurdler Venda Nel is grateful to be back on track for next year's rescheduled Tokyo Olympics after recovering from COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus.
It was about 2 to 4 weeks that I've took it very slowly with the training, checked my heart rate every training session, just monitor that. And from there, I actually went into full program and I feel stronger, fit, and actually fully recovered right now.
The International Olympic Committee tasked a prominent South African sports physician, Martin Schwellnus, to lead international scientists in compiling guidelines for doctors treating athletes recovering from acute respiratory infections, including the coronavirus. The University of Pretoria's Sport, Exercise Medicine and Lifestyle Institute, SEMLI, through the IOC Research Center in South Africa, initiated the International AWARE Research Study as part of this work. The project includes data from the COVID-19 Recovery Clinic for athletes. Dr. Schwellnus, who is a professor at the University of Pretoria and the director of SEMLI, says COVID-19 seems to affect various organ systems.
In the returning to sport, it could result in medical complications. And to date, we don't really know what these are for COVID. And so the focus of the project is to investigate what happens in the athlete when they've had COVID and how does the body heal and respond.
The project uses an online survey to gather data from any person training regularly for 3 hours a week who had acute respiratory infections, including COVID-19. Those recovering from the ailment can join the COVID-19 recovery clinic for help returning to sports. Medical doctor and amateur triathlete Michelle Juister joined the clinic after he recovered from COVID-19, which he caught from a patient.
I'm expected to follow a specific return to play protocol in terms of what I'm allowed to do in terms of exercise. That is, if I have passed all the testing, and then I am required to give them feedback in terms of how I feel following training.
17, 18, 19, 20.
The research examines COVID-19's impact on all organ systems. According to preliminary findings, athletes who've had COVID-19 find low-intensity exercise to be harder and recovery time much longer than from other respiratory infections. Evidence-based guidelines should help recovering athletes to better and more safely prepare for the Tokyo Olympics, says Kelly Miller, rehabilitation specialist at the University of Pretoria's SEMLI.
If an athlete does happen to contract COVID-19, it would be really important and really valuable for the coaches and medical professionals to have evidence-based advice to guide that athlete back to their performance in the shortest time possible.
For Vinda Nell and other Olympic athletes recovering from the infection, the research could help them come home from Tokyo as champions. Marisa de Klerk for VOA News, Pretoria, South Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Los Angeles Lakers dedicated their record-tying 17th National Basketball Association championship to the late Kobe Bryant, whose death in January united and motivated the team in a year full of challenges. The Lakers defeated the Miami Heat 4-2 in the NBA Finals last month. Bryant, his 13-year-old daughter Gianna, and seven others died in a helicopter crash near Los Angeles. Kobe won 5 NBA titles in 20 seasons with the Lakers and is considered one of basketball's all-time greats. His shocking death on January 26th was one of basketball's biggest stories of the year, and VOA's Jim Stevenson had comprehensive reaction to it. Jim says Kobe's year began with a special message for his fans in China.
Wishes for 2020 and the Lunar New Year were bright.
Happy New Year, my dear friends in China. Thank you for your support this year. I wish you happiness, health, and inner magic to achieve more success in the upcoming year of the mouse. Love, Kobe.
NBA great Kobe Bryant posted his annual video for Chinese basketball fans, and then he was gone. A helicopter crash near Los Angeles claimed his life at age 41, along with his 13-year-old daughter Gianna and seven others on board. Fans quickly gathered outside the Staples Center Arena where the Los Angeles Lakers play.
He's going to be missed. It was tragic when he left because it took everybody by surprise.
His passion and his drive to play the game was incredible. And what he did for so many people here in Los Angeles. So I'm here today to pay respects.
Kobe Bryant's given me some of the best memories of my life. I respect that about it. I respect the hard work. I respect the dedication to the game.
Pay my respect to Kobe, one of my favorite players in the NBA.
He touched my family tremendously. I mean, he was so bigger than the game. Incredible. Incredible athlete. Best ever.
Bryant is widely considered one of the greatest NBA players of all time and most known athletes around the world, making 18 All-Star teams during his 20-year career with the Lakers, winning 5 NBA championships, 2 NBA Finals Most Valuable Player awards, and he was the league MVP in 2008. His father, Joe, was a former NBA player who would later take his game to Italy, where Kobe learned to speak the local language fluently. Childhood friend Davide Guidici recalls how Kobe spoke of his future at age 12.
He was just a kid. His Mamba mentality was there in his mind. And I remember him many times saying, guys, one day I will be a professional player. I don't know where, if in Serie A in Italy or in Europe or in NBA, but I will play basketball for sure in my life.
News of his death reverberated from Italy to Philadelphia, where Kobe Bryant was born. His parents named him Kobe after seeing the famous beef from Japan listed on a restaurant menu. The Bryant Gymnasium was dedicated in 2010 to honor the famous alum who was in 1996 one of just a handful of NBA players ever to be drafted directly from high school. Stuart Guy was his friend.
It was bigger than basketball, really. It was deeper than basketball. Just, you know, he was always kidding around, joking around. We always joked around and always had good conversations. Just funny and down to earth. And that's what I've always told anybody when they ask me about him. He's just a down-to-earth guy when you get to know him.
Former Los Angeles Lakers head coach Del Harris reflected on the early career of the team's legendary shooting guard.
I was Kobe's first coach when he was only 17 when Jerry drafted him. And 18 by the time he got in an NBA game. And he was just such a wonderful kid. But more than that, has turned into a wonderful adult man.
Del Harris says Bryant's playing legacy endures.
All the players, the ethic and what it takes to be the best that any individual can be.
The tragic news quickly reached China, where Kobe Bryant was the clear icon of professional basketball. Liu Chen is an accountant. He has influenced the generations of post-80s and post-90s. He was the one after Michael Jordan. It's regretful because he was too young. He had good relations with China and visited many times. We all miss him. Everyone, it seems, plays basketball in the Philippines, where Bobby Manlises is a Kobe Bryant fan.
Ano yun, parang alin ko sa kanya kasi talagang ano siya, idol ko siya ever since then.
I offered these flowers to him because he has always been my idol. He is my inspiration, his character. He is one of the people who built my character, not just in basketball, but in life. He is my inspiration.
Hindi lang sa basketball, pati sa buhay ko.
Tiger Woods learned of the accident after playing the final round at the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines in California.
It's a shocker to everyone. Unbelievably sad and one of the more tragic days.
Tennis great Novak Djokovic reacted to the news in Melbourne at the Australian Open.
I don't know. I mean, it's really sad. I mean, his daughter is, you know, 13 years old and... I don't know what to say, to be honest. I'm sorry, but I really, I'm heartbroken, honestly, with what has happened.
Kobe Bryant was on 15 All-NBA teams, 12 All-Defensive teams, and led the league in scoring for two seasons. He ranks fourth in the NBA for all-time regular season scoring and all-time postseason scoring. He was also a two-time U.S. Olympic gold medalist. His first sports ambition was to play football, known as soccer in the United States.
I had more talent playing basketball than I did playing soccer. You know, when I first started playing soccer, they just stuck me in the goal because I had these really long arms and long legs and said, okay, kid, just stop whatever ball comes your way. And that's what I did. And then I started getting better and better. But I was never, you know, close to being as good at soccer as I was at basketball.
In a 2013 interview with ESPN Brazil, Bryant also reflected on his inspiration to play basketball at the highest level.
And Oscar Schmidt, Oscar was, you know, he was the guy.
Inspiration led to many indelible moments, including buzzer-beating shots for the win. Fittingly, his final game would be a magnificent 60-point performance against the Utah Jazz, as Bryant, at nearly age 38, became the oldest player to score that many points in a game. Injuries and an alleged rape that was eventually settled out of court. But Bryant's hard work and play culminated with the Los Angeles Lakers retiring both of his jerseys, number 8 and 24, the only player in team history to receive that honor. Just 2 years ago, Kobe Bryant collected another honor, the Oscar for Best Animated Short Film, Dear Basketball.
What are you going to do when you retire? And I'd say, well, I want to be a writer, I want to be a storyteller. And I got a lot of... Yeah, that's cute. You'll be depressed when your career is over and you'll come back to playing, you know. And I got that a lot. And so to be here right now and to have like a sense of validation is, dude, this is crazy, man.
And it's crazy for most of us to think that Kobe Bryant is now gone.
And thanks to VOA's Jim Stevenson for that feature report on the late, great Kobe Bryant. Up the November 13th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in, and have a nice weekend, everyone. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. See the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation of the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker Interview Program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to Ndumbulu and Makossa to Kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international...